We will read this afternoon from the chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, text 12. Natvevaham jatunasham. Do you want to say? Yes, let us chant together. Natvevaham jatunasham. Natvam neme janadipaha. Natvam neme janadipaha. Na chaiva na bhavishyama. Sarve vayam ataparam. Na tvevaham jatunasham. Na tvang neme janadipa. Na chaiva na bhavishyama. Sarve vayam ataparam. Good. I will read the translation now for you. You have the English text? Good. I should say to you the content first. Krishna speaks on the battle of Kurukshetra to his devotee, the Kshatriya or warrior prince Arjuna, and he wants to motivate him to enter into battle. But Arjuna knows very well that there will be many, many people who will be slain, and he just doesn't want to kill. He's a spiritual person. Krishna, who has his own dharmic reasons, this now would be too long to explain, for this battle, gives him a convincing argument. He says, you think in a war people will die, but that's wrong. Let us hear Krishna's logic or perspective. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. No one of us will stop to exist. In the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well as in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Prabhupada comments this, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities in terms of their different situations according to individual work and reaction of work. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by his plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons can see within and without the Supreme Lord, and they can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. So, Krishna tells here something which my own spiritual master has again and again repeated to all of us. He says that we are eternal spiritual souls, and that there was never a time in existence when we were not there as souls. And there will never in the future be a time when any one of us will stop to be. We will always be there as eternal souls. Hare Krishna. My spiritual master taught this to me in a very practical way when I saw him last. I remember we had heard in Europe that Srila Prabhupada was very, very ill, and he had at times said that he actually will soon leave the planet. He will die. But then all of a sudden, it seemed to us that he would become better because he took an international flight, an airplane, and wanted to fly to America. And he made a stop in London for a week or so to break the journey and then continue on his way to America. And we thought, well, he was ill and now he flies again. He's better. He will stay with us for a longer time. But he had another plan. He wanted to see us the last time. So, I remember the news came, Srila Prabhupada is flying to London and wants to see all of his disciples. So we put everyone into a van and drove from Germany with different vans, not just one, there was, to Srila Prabhupada. And when we arrived, we took a shower, and when we just came out of the bathroom, there was someone who said, his secretary, Prabhupada wants to see all of you who just came from Germany. So we quickly dressed, put on the tilak, and went into his room. And my dear devotees and my dear guests, when we entered into his room, all of us were shocked. Because he was the person whom we loved very much, and he was what we say emaciated. How do we say in Slovenian language emaciated? It's very thin. Siran? Yes, yes. That sounds right. He was sitting on a rocking chair. And we could understand he's not better. My dear devotees, the only way I can explain to you what I thought at the moment when I saw him like this. I thought he has already 1 foot in eternity, in the kingdom of God, and only another foot with us. And he will soon take the other foot and go totally there and join Krishna. And I was very shocked. And so were all of us. We hadn't expected this. We had expected to see him in acceptable health, like someone who's going on an international flight is usually quite well, you know. And Prabhupada, he looked at us and he saw how shocked we were. And he was displeased with us. Was not happy. And he asked us a question. Have you understood the philosophy? And we really really didn't know what to do. We were thinking, how are you? And he asked us, have you understood the philosophy? We were a little bit confused. But he stopped, he looked at us, and he wanted to have answers. What is the philosophy of the Vedas, of Krishna consciousness? So some of my god brothers volunteered and shyly raised their hands, ready to give an answer. And he said, just speak. And I knew, because I always say the wrong thing when I'm asked such a question, I better be quiet. I didn't go like So some of them said different things. Savadamang, Parijaja, different aspects of the philosophy. Yaradeko, Kartadeko, Krishna Upadesh. Prabhupada interrupted them and said, you say Krishna Upadesh, this means the instructions of Krishna. What are the instructions of Krishna? Have you understood? And we understood. None of our answers was what he thought would be the right answer. And you know, when your spiritual master is so serious, and it's such a serious moment, you really want to give the right answer to show him that, yes, thank you very much, you trained us nicely and we have understood. So Prabhupada was a little impatient. Not in a bad way, not in a fatherly way. Oh, when will they learn? And then he gave finally the answer himself. He said, first of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. And this meant a lot in this situation. It meant you are shocked because why? You see only my body. But I am here. I will not die. I'm eternal. I'm a spiritual soul. Why are you worried? The body is given and it is taken at a certain time. It is born, it grows, it dwindles, and then it dies. But I'm not the body. And he must have thought about this verse here, which Krishna says. He says the same thing to his disciple, Arjuna. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you. We are eternal. Nor in the future shall any one of us cease to be. That was his instruction. He was a very deep teacher. Or is, I would not like to say, in the past, he is a very, very deep teacher. We can just turn to Srila Prabhupada and see how sober he sits there. He knows I'm eternal. I'm always with you in a spiritual way. No? And he prepared all of us at that time. Don't think I will leave you. You can always be with me if you want. No? He prepared us like this. That's why in our movement, we do not like to say Prabhupada was a teacher or he had lived from so-and-so to so-and-so date. We like to see him as an eternal person. And in the rooms of our temples, we have usually rooms where it's called memoria, I think, the things which he used are there. And we go in these rooms and we feel his presence in the rooms. We also read his scriptures and we feel, especially through reading his words, he's still there, he's with us and we can contact him. For Srila Prabhupada, this teaching, you could say, that all of us are eternal souls was really one of his essential messages to us. In one book called Beyond Birth and Death, he said, the first step in spiritual life is to understand that we are an eternal soul. And then he says, not theoretically, as a concept, but practical. He says this must be realized. No? And as I was sitting in your forest in Ljubljana, I was thinking about this very deeply. I thought when I was sitting on my bench, what will be my message at the Sunday program to all the devotees, friends of the devotees, and all our honored guests who come to the temple? What will I tell you? What is worthwhile for me to share with you, which might help you in your own spiritual path? I was thinking like this, and I thought, I will tell them three steps, which, if they just do these three steps, will make their lives perfect. See, I'm personally in a difficult situation. I give so many lectures, and the people I found out who listen to my lectures forget most of it. It's very frustrating, you know, when this is your main job, so to say, or I don't want to say job, it's more than a job, your main service to God, and the people whom you want to speak to and who come to listen to you forget most of what you say, then you feel, I don't do my service very nicely. It's just like a teacher, you know, in the classroom. He only is happy if those who leave his classroom can remember and apply what they learned, and it helps them in some ways. Bad teachers don't care. They just think, let me talk. And then they feel maybe good, I did it very nice. But good teachers don't think like this. They think not what I say, but what does the student learn? It's a total different perspective. Teaching is not about you, it's about the student. My God, is someone slaughtered there? I hope you are vegetarians here in this temple. Hare Krishna. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. No one has been killed, it seems. So, I've asked myself the question so often, when does a real change of heart take place? I notice you really have a loud temple. Is this always like this? Or there's no separate arrangement for children? That has to be open. Is there not like, I mean, when the children are outside, we will hear everything of them, and they will hear everything of us. What do you think? Do you think for 20 minutes we just close the window? Because you will need to concentrate. Yes, this we can also close. Don't worry. Afterwards, we will have a lot of fresh air for you. You will like it more. What is actually necessary for the student or for a person who follows the path of Krishna consciousness to permanently purify his heart and become an enlightened soul? self-realized. What is necessary for him to understand and to do? Do you think this is a good thing to discuss? Moksha Rupi nods his head. What is necessary is three steps. It starts with the first step, that you understand practically that you are an eternal soul and different from the body. Where we live is called the Gora Bhavan, and the devotees have put little post-it marks on the mirror. You know, when they go to the mirror and brush their teeth, then they want to be reminded. It says, I'm an eternal soul. That's how they start their morning. I'm an eternal soul. I noticed this especially important, it seems, for Matajis, because they started this. They don't want to identify with the body. I'm an eternal soul. Because if you are really an eternal soul, you will do things differently. And your behavior, first of all, your belief, what is good and what is bad, will change. This is the second step you need to do. You need to do something with your belief. If you think on the spiritual path, beer and wurst, do we say wurst in Slovenian? Yeah. I don't need to learn this word. I will never use it again. Will make me happy. Or I will be happy if I dance in the discotheque and others look at my new outfit. You know, you will not live a spiritual life. You will, because you believe other things which are not to be, which are not so good. So you need to have a different belief system. You need to actually be convinced that serving Krishna is the perfection of your life. That's the second step. You need to change the beliefs. And the third step is you need to actually start new activities, because it's the old activities which pull you in your old life. You need to do something different. These are the three elements of permanent change. I would like to tell you a little bit, a little story from sacred India, where this is very nicely expressed. This understanding in a new way who I am, believing in spiritual activities, and actually doing them. There was once a Brahmana who was not very happy in the village where he lived, because people were so uninterested in spiritual life. So he decided, I will leave my village and go to a new, and find out a new village. And he looked at different villages, and he didn't like, he liked many of them, but there was always some negative point. No, I can't imagine to live here. Then, after a few months, he found on the banks of a river, that's very important to have water for a Brahmana nearby. He takes his morning bath in the river and such things. He found a very attractive village. There were old trees. People looked very cultured. And he went, it was towards the evening when he arrived, he went into the village. Now, as he was walking, he saw something which looked like a graveyard. There were stones, comments, and they had inscriptions. And he looked at them and he was shocked what he saw. The first inscription read like this: here, in memory, it says like this: in memory of Gopal, he lived 2 years. Oh, how sad. Brahman thought that a child has died here. How inauspicious. Then he looked at the next inscription. And here lies Indira, that's a female name. She lived 1 year and 9 months. Two children? How inauspicious. He read all the inscriptions, and the more he read, he found, you know, in memory of Narsingha, he lived 2 years and 1 month. In memory of Lakshmi, she lived only 1 month. Then he found. Something which really shocked him. In memory of Govinda, 18 days. I thought, my God, this is the village of death. No one becomes older than 2 years and 5 months or something. I better leave, but the sun had set already. So he went, he met some people and said, oh, Brahmana, wonderful. Can you do kirtan for us? And talk from the Bhagavad Gita, please. He said, if you want. And he sat down in the marketplace and something happened which I have not seen so much in the Ljubljana temple. He was talking, and when he talked, people took out a notebook and made notes. This is very good, you know. When a teacher sees people make notes, he feels, oh, someone cares what I say. He must be careful that his pride doesn't increase, but. You know, they took notes and he felt very encouraged. But when he had stopped his kirtan and lecture, and he went to, there was like a guest house, and he took his rest, he thought, tomorrow, the first thing in the morning, even before I take my shower, around 5 o'clock when the sun rises, I will run out of this village of death. I don't want to die so early. So he couldn't sleep. He was just, when will the sun rise? He was so afraid. And he got up in the morning and he left the village. On the road, he met a young man who had caught his attention and that evening program. And the man said, you're leaving us? Your lecture was so good, we thought, could you not stay another day? Or 2 days, or as long as you want? No, said the Brahmana, I have something very important to do. And he gave some excuses. Why? For a Brahmana, it's important to teach, and you might have, that's the most important thing, and were we not attentive? Said the Brahman. And the young man said, you seem to be troubled. Some other thought is in your mind which you have not told me. Finally, the Brahmana said, I do not want to die early. seems to be a disease or something going on. Why do you think like this? Said the young man. You're placed there. You mean the place where the stones were? Said the young man. Yes, exactly. 2 years, 1.9 years. I saw no inscription saying the normal duration of life, 80 years. Oh, said the young man, my father's 80 years. No, my grandfather is 110 years and he still has all his teeth. No problem. But why did you have these inscriptions in the stones? Brahmana, we count our life different. Our life is counted by the time which we spend in spiritual activities. Did you see all these people who made notes? Do you know what they write in their notes? They say, this program, I was 1 hour and 30 minutes in the program. I lived for 1 hour and 30 minutes. I lived spiritually. That's real life. Physical life is the unreal life. You follow? You follow the idea? Saraswati, you follow? You understand? Dobro. This is another perspective. Based on an understanding who I am, eternal soul, based on a new belief system, spiritual activities make me happy, and based on a new set of activities, I will be as much as possible in programs. The Brahmana thought, this is the best village. I'm staying. I'm building my own hut here. Now I can learn so much from these people. You know, and he went back and told his family, come with me. I found the best place. This is finally a spiritual place. Dobro. And he was very convinced. My dear devotees, I would love to request you, and dear friends, to every day make a little exercise. Get up and just connect yourself that I'm an eternal soul. Then think a little bit about your faith, your belief. I recommend that you read every day in spiritual books like the Gita and the Bhagavatam, even if it's one verse only. I know you all are super busy in Ljubljana and have no minute free. One verse only. Yeah? And then every day do something based on spiritual activities. This morning we were all sitting here together and we were thinking deeply about compassion, helping others in their spiritual life to progress, that you could do, or you could do any spiritual activity which you like, and I guarantee you, your life will change. But you know, most of the practitioners, not only the Hare Krishnas, but others, they have this little fear which holds them back. They think, oh no, if I live too spiritually, will I be taken care of? Will I have enough? Tolas, we say. Euros, we have euros. Oh, we don't have tolas any longer. Will I get enough euros? And will I have enough rice? And potatoes, when I maybe, but be careful, let me be careful. But there's something which I want to say to you, to encourage you in your faith, which which Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, and those who have followed this advice have really felt that it's true. It's like this, that Krishna says so nicely, those who serve me, I maintain what they have and give what they need. Krishna makes some arrangement. That doesn't mean we have to stop working. I think our abilities to work and our intelligence are gifts of God which we need to use and not let them stay around idle. But we should have that faith that Svechi biti oredu. Everything will be all right when I do my spiritual life. Oh, sorry, I'm in Slovenia. It's not Croatia. Mm-mm. We don't say Svechi biti oredu here. Sve oredu. Sve oredu. I will end with a little story about how Krishna takes care of his devotees, even the small devotees, the so-called unimportant devotees. At the beginning of the battle of the Kurukshetra, you know, Hare Krishna. We can hear you. At the beginning, you know, Krishna asked Arjuna, just draw the chariot between the two armies. You know, here's one army, there's the other army. I want to see who is here, who's there. And it's a beautiful painting. You please look closer at it. At that moment, a little bird landed, you know, on that wooden thing which is between the horses. In German, you say Deichsel. It's the thing, you know. Here's the chariot with the four wheels, and then comes this wooden thing, and then the horses are yoked to this wooden thing. How do we call this in Slovenian? Jaran? Yeah, you know better than me. Yes. We you know what I mean. And a little bird landed there. And the bird began to speak. I can't believe what I see. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Arjuna, his best devotees, want to go to war. Everyone knows, even we birds know, that violence will only bring violence and not peace. How can Krishna and Arjuna do this? I can't believe my eyes. Krishna was smiling. And he put his eyes, he made with his eyes like, Arjuna, and meaning Arjuna, you give the answer. And Arjuna then gave an answer. Good, you know how this was a Dharma Yudha, you know, a war to set a Dharma correct. Krishna appears in order to restore the eternal Dharma when it's out of balance, and he gave many arguments. And then the bird said, Oh, Redu, you always have the better arguments, but let me tell you my real problem. I'm a bird which breeds on the floor. And I have just built a wonderful nest. It's in the middle between you. And you will now fight with your chariots and destroy my new home. Everything is there in the home. Beds, a very good, luxurious home. It took me It took me two weeks to build it. And you are now coming and destroying this. Can you not have your war somewhere else, please? You know, all the kings on one side, other kings on another, and now they had to rearrange everything. Krishna said to the bird, go in your nest. I will protect you and maintain you. I will maintain what you have. Then he told to Arjuna, pss, 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 pss. And Arjuna took an arrow, put it on his Gandiva bow, and all those on the other side went, ah, he's going to shoot now, he's starting. But we didn't even blow in the conch shells. This is not the right time. You know, first conch shell blowing, and then it starts. So the arrow went like, Arjuna's arrows always hit the goal. And it went onto the bell of an elephant of the opposite side. Bang! And it made bang. It was such a strong arrow. It took the bell, and the bell just flew over the battlefield and crashed on the floor. Then they had a war. The conches were blowing. There was 18 days, I don't want to tell you, it is not good before your meal to hear all this. And it was finally over. And then Krishna said to Arjuna, there's one duty more which you have, Arjuna. And Arjuna said, I know what you think about. And they went into the middle of the battlefield. And Arjuna at one stage bowed down and he took the bell which he had in the beginning taken from the neck of the elephant by the arrow, and he raised it. And there was this little bird mother with her husband, Hamush, and the little children, and they said, thank you, thank you, thank you. We didn't feel a thing. We felt protected and maintained. You promised. You kept your promise to give us what we need. We had food, and to maintain what we have. Thank you. So this is a little bit my point. If Krishna, before engaging in this Kurukshetra thing, can take care of a little bird with her family members, can't he take care of us? Shouldn't we have a little faith? How do you like this narration? Beautiful, no? He takes care. So when you leave this lecture, you will most probably forget everything. If you are all already infected by the Hare Krishna movement forgetting virus, I would like to remind you of the three practices for your spiritual life. Every day, please start your day with a conscious meditation that I'm eternal. Nourish your faith by reading in the scriptures and hearing about Krishna, and then do spiritual activities. And I guarantee you, your heart and your life will totally transform. Do you think you can try that? If you are a little forgetful by nature, you could go and make a little note, 1, 2, 3. The three steps of transformation, it will help you to do that directly after the lecture, and then look at it when you go to bed and then start in the morning. Good. So I want to end here. I'm sorry that I went over time. I tried to explain it in simple English, but it is a deep subject, and I wish you all the best in your own journey in spiritual life. As I have said to the devotees here in the morning, I always have really appreciated my stay in Ljubljana. I used to go to Ljubljana to just become free from fear. You know, in the old days, I would go to Croatia and Serbia and Bosnia, and there was communism, and it was not appreciated by the police that we did programs there. At that time, it had to be done undercover, and it was always, I remember once I had to climb out the window of a bathroom. That's all right. It's good when you're young. It's good to do. Keep moving when you're young. And I always came to when I came to Ljubljana, somehow the pressure was over. There was somehow it was very different here, and I always remember. In Ljubljana, you could buy shaving cream, which was not available anywhere else in the Balkans. And I would always, when can I go and take a good bath, you know, and so on. I remember, and I became free from fear because here I didn't have to run. I became very peaceful when I came after a month of let me say revolutionary activity in the Balkans. I felt very happy. So I'm very happy the devotees in Ljubljana have given me shelter for 2 nights. Also, I can also be here the night, and then I will be able to go tomorrow to Germany. Thank you. All the best. I will pray for all of you in toto that you can go forward in your spiritual life and that the obstacles will be removed on your path, that you are in peace in your spiritual life and that you are not worried and upset because we live in a Kali Yuga time, a time which is sometimes a little disturbed. So all the best for you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So now you will say something, Mandi Tangi.
Thank you very much for the nice lecture. Tako zdaj pa na vrsti kirtan, ples za zadovoljstvo božanstv, potem pa je še vegetarijanska pojedina prasadam, se pravi po kirtanu. Lepo vabljeni še naprej. Rekiš.
What we do? Kirtan? No?
Yeah, now it's kirtan and after it's prasadam.
Can I sing for the deity?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.